Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST.
Big treat this afternoon. Now, look, if you are wondering what great Tucson restaurant we are broadcasting from today, you're going to be looking long and far and wide because, no, fellow foodies, we are not in Southern Arizona. We always love broadcasting live from our favorite restaurants, pubs, and lounges across the Old Pueblo. But today, Saturday, November the 9th, it's all about the Las Vegas Strip, and here we are at the Mirage, right on the Strip, having a great time up in Las Vegas, partying with all of our friends here who are up here for the big smoke as they come up here every year to experience all the great things from the food landscape to the cocktail landscape to the cigar landscape. And when we come up to Las Vegas, the pathway only leads one place, fellow foodies, and that is to the wonderful and open and majestic arms of the Mirage, and that's exactly where we are, and we are going to be having a great time. We're going to be catching up with the Vice President of Food and Beverage, Mr. Julian Griffin. He's going to be talking about what's going on cocktail-wise on the Strip and talk about what cocktails are going to be trending these days. We're going to be talking to the rock star in his own right, Chef Anthony Zappola of the new Heritage Steak. And I'm telling you, there are a few rock stars in the culinary arts. He is one of them, fellow foodies. You are not going to want to miss this interview at all. And we're going to be giving away a special gift to the winner of the trivia question this week, so you want to definitely stick around for that. But anyway, we're enjoying a beautiful cigar. And when we're in Las Vegas for the big smoke, and we are enjoying a beautiful cigar, we enjoy it with a beautiful man from Foundry Cigars in La Gloria Cubana, the Honorable Michael Giannini is in the house.
I am in the house. Thank you, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
I can't tell you how happy I am to see you. It's been a year, and I start shaking when I don't see Michael Giannini. You come in, it's almost like the waters part.
I love that.
How you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. Having a great time here at the Mirage, at the Big Smoke, just hanging out with everybody and smoking cigars and This is killer. If you haven't been, you need to come.
Yeah, I mean, every November, year after year, right up here at the Mirage, you know, we have thousands of our cigar-smoking brethren. They convene against the backdrop of camaraderie and cocktails and wonderful food, and we celebrate the beauty of the leaf, and I love the fact that I'm celebrating it with you here this afternoon.
Matt, it's been my honor. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me back on.
Absolutely. So you think about how you prepare for the big smoke. I mean, like I said, thousands of people, you know, you have the opportunity to share your wares at Foundry Cigars with all of these folks. How do you even mentally begin to prepare for such an extravaganza?
Well, I used to be a Boy Scout, so I'm always prepared. I love the fact that consumers are interested about one of my passion in life is cigars and that they want to hear the story. So it's not a hard task at all.
Right. You know,
most of these guys I've met, Matt, I've been coming here for the last 20 years or as long as the Big Smoke's been going on. So it's like seeing old friends.
Right. And that's what the beauty about it.
Exactly.
I mean, yes, guys that you sort of only keep up in touch with over, you know, texts and tweets throughout the year. And when it's like coming home, it's like a homecoming.
Amen.
Right here in Vegas.
Amen.
So we're going to be talking with you a little bit later on in the show about what's new in the Foundry cigar world and what's going on at La Gloria Cubana, which, you know, you in your own right, an international cigar icon.
Wow.
With two very well-respected brands. But we're here talking about Big Smoke. So for someone who's never been to the Big Smoke before, how do you even begin to define this experience, this encounter for someone?
All right, so it's an orgy of cigar smokers, but not in the way that you would think. It's a bunch of guys and beautiful ladies walking in, going around, getting cigars, smoking, trying to great food that's offered, trying to great spirits that's offered, and just talking to each other. Everybody's happy, there's smiles on people's faces, and it's just a getaway from your regular life. It's so much fun. If you haven't been, you need to come.
That's great. And, you know, I've been coming. I think this is my sixth. I went to two in Washington, D.C. back in the days
Wow.
when they were doing them in a lot of different
Yes.
markets. You know, one of the Big Smokes we went to began with a rally in front of the White House.
Oh, I
you
remember
know,
that one.
The Cigar Rights of America,
Yes.
you know, the I think kind of the early days, the pioneering days of that advocacy group.
Yes.
And then I think this is my fourth here in Las Vegas. So we always have a great time. And the Mirage, you couldn't imagine a better backdrop for this party, right?
It's unbelievable. The restaurants are amazing. The people here are amazing. Customer service is amazing. The folks, I think everybody's happy. You got everything that you want in one roof. It's unbelievable.
I think it's our lovely PR department over
yes,
here.
Well,
I mean, they're They're the ones that attract all the buzz. I just run my mouth for an hour, but, you know, it's all about the Mirage talent, let's be clear. But anyway, last year when you were on the show, we talked a lot about the presence that Foundry Cigars had at the Big Smoke. So when you go into this big ballroom and you join thousands of your comrades, you know, you get to walk around this beautiful space and get, you know, up close and personal with some of these leading cigar manufacturers. And, you know, some folks get real creative in the way that they sort of design their space. And I remember leaving Las Vegas last year with this inspiration that no one does it like Giannini. I mean, he sets the bar as high as you could possibly set it. So I've got this image of what you guys did last year to dress up your space. Are you going to break some news here on the show?
I am going to break some
news.
Tell
me what I can expect when we go into Big Smoke tonight.
So what you're going to see is we're handing out the next version of Foundry. But next to it, I reprised the rolling table, which, if you've never seen my version of a cigar rolling table, it's an old Victorian desk, a roll-up desk, but actually I have mechanical arms on it. So my idea is I don't want to make cigars. I want to have these little mechanical arms making it with gears, and there's smoke coming out of it, and you actually hear it being made through music. And then, so this year's version, I actually created a Jacob's Ladder, which has a high voltage on it.
Wow.
And I also brought Jack the Ripper's embalming table that we got verified. It's from 1890. That's in our booth as well. The only thing that I wanted to bring were a bunch of skulls. But I know that stuff's going to disappear. I also have, yeah, I know. I'm a little out there. But the whole thing is about the vibe. So you'll see the whole Foundry Tobacco Company Foundry brand itself coming to life.
And, you know, we're going to be talking about that brand's coming to life after our first commercial break, because when you think about Foundry, you know, it's not just another cigar, and I mean that sincerely. I mean, there's a story that goes with it. There's it's part of this evolution, as we talked about. Last year, you know, your story was inspired by the steampunk movement, which is about movement and energy, and something tells me, we're going to talk about a little bit later on, that sort of that dynamic of energy and movement and fire and spark really is kind of carried through.
Wow, you're dropping a lot of great things that are coming up. Very good, Matt.
And I remember last year, the Foundry cigars actually came right, encircling the band with these wonderful metal. Is it metal or steel? I mean, these are heavy-duty,
yes.
You know, gears.
Yes.
And you instructed me, you know, with great caution, do not throw these away, because they're actually, you can use these.
Yes, you can.
These are usable implements.
So, I mean, the idea behind the gears, part of the steampunk move, is all about the creativity. Again, the energy that you're talking about, motion. But the gears, what I wanted those to be was you could wear them as a ring if you don't wear jewelry. You could make your own stuff out of it.
I think someone just won
$10,000. Wow, that's the Mirage.
$100,000. So
yeah.
I'm very happy. I think they're buying drinks, Michael.
And I'm supplying the cigars.
I digress.
So what we did with the gear this year is the reason I told everybody. I created a travel humidor mat, which looks like an old Victorian toolbox that has a handle on it. And on the front of it has a little hole. Which the fun part of this is kind of my wicked sense of humor, is I like see guys trying to tap it like it's a button. But no, if you're wearing a gear on your finger, you actually put it in a hole and you turn it like a safe and it opens up the travel humidor.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that's what the gear's for.
Absolutely beautiful. So the gear, you know, you're thinking about us, you're thinking about utility, you're thinking about how you can make our lives better, giving us all these wonderful tools to maximize our own enjoyment. But the tool that is getting all the buzz, and again, we're going to be talking about this in this on the other side of the break, what you decided to actually put over the band of the cigars this year is scream. I wish this was a two-hour show. But anyway, we're going to be talking to you, Michael
Excellent.
Giannini, a little bit about that when we return. We're talking to Michael Giannini of Foundry Cigars, our celebrity co-host for the entire hour for this special Vegas Baby edition of On the Menu Live. We're broadcasting live from the Race and Sportsbook at the lovely, majestic Mirage Hotel on the Las Vegas Strip. Having a great time for this Vegas edition of the show. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Michael and talk about these gorgeous sticks that are really attracting quite a bit of buzz. And it's more than just sort of the packaging and the intent that goes with the brand. It's all about the tobacco and the blend. And remember, fellow foodies, Michael Giannini was not saying much when we asked him about that blend. We're going to see if we can break him down right here this year. Anyway, you're listening to On the Menu Live on KNST AM 790. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
What are the top three ways to get Tucson's breaking news on the culinary and cocktail scene? Start by liking On the Menu Live on Facebook. Then follow On the Menu Live on Twitter. And finally, download On the Menu Live podcast on iTunes. Now, it's On the Menu Live with Matt Russell on KNST.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here. And I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock,
Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road. Or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778. A new seasonal menu has just rolled out at the Grill at Hacienda del Sol, and believe me, it's nothing short of spectacular. These new dishes have attracted some serious buzz from foodies everywhere, like the warm Brussels sprout salad, roasted duck breast, venison chops, and my personal favorite, the braised pork cheeks. And seafood lovers will surely relish the Grill's crispy lobster rolls, schooner salmon, striped bass, and monkfish. Celebrate the cooler temperatures and the delicious flavors that go with them at the Grill at Hacienda del Sol, on Hacienda del Sol Road between River Road and Sunrise Drive.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness here at the Mirage on the Las Vegas Strip, right here in Glitter Gulch, as they say, wrapping up with my celebrity co-host for the full hour from Foundry Cigars in La Gloria Cubana, the Honorable Michael Giannini is back with us.
Thank you, Matt.
Always nice to have you here.
It's great to be here.
I'm just having a blast. And anyway, let's just one more time give tip our hats to the good people at the Mirage. As I say, when we come up to Las Vegas, we have so many places to choose from eating and drinking and having a great cigar and engaging in great conversation. In fact, it's a life-transforming experience every time I walk in the door at the Mirage. I mean, why would you stay anywhere else, Michael Giannini?
Amen. I'm going to move in here, Matt. I'm not leaving.
I think I should send for my things. Yeah. I think my wife is listening back home. We'll see how she thinks about that. But anyway, we're talking about Foundry Cigars, this spark of innovation that you brought to bear in the cigar market that has really attracted this international buzz. We talked a little bit about the brand and the packaging and the wonderful things that you do for a cigar that tells a story, but you're not doing these gauges around the cigars anymore. You've decided to replace the band with something that's quite peculiar, Michael Giannini. What's up with this?
So this year's version, Matt, is a fuse. So for those of you that don't know what a fuse is, it looks like a little cylindrical tube that actually powers electricity. So the story's evolved, Matt. Last year was about all innovation. I paid homage to some great innovators, Kaley Talbot. This year, I wanted to move the story. And the story is this year is called The War of Currents. It's Tesla versus Edison, AC power versus DC power, and how we built the power grid, which lights up Vegas, lights up the Mirage. And it's a fascinating story. So part of my Foundry movement is I can't ever stay in one place. I got to move the story. And as I started doing research on it, I found it, this is cool. This is a cool story to tell. So what I did this year is Edison, I created a cigar with tobaccos that have never been used in the industry before for Edison's laboratory. And I also created one for the West Shoreham Laboratory, which is Tesla, which I love Tesla. And underneath that, I created their small batches. So the idea behind that is, now you got to think about this. This is what's so cool. Tesla is a guy that was a genius, and he actually worked for Edison, but Edison would never listen to anything that he said. So he's like, listen, dude, I'm on my own, because I'm kind of brilliant, and you're not giving me the props for that. So he took off, and he started to create stuff. And two of the things that he did was, one was a death ray. And think about the death ray. When Reagan was, we were fighting the Russians, Reagan's like, I'm going to create SDI defense,
right,
and I'm going to blow stuff out of the sky,
right,
actually out of the universe. Tesla was thinking about that 80 years before.
Oh my
so
gosh.
I created a cigar, Matt, that looks like the death ray, which is cool. And then what I did is he's the first guy that at a World's Fair had a remote control boat. Think about that. People at a World's Fair seeing this thing on a lake moving around, and this guy's controlling it with a little paddle switch. So cool. And then what I did is, underneath the laboratories, I created small batches for Edison. So the first one, and this is a kind of a bizarre story, but I really was intrigued by it. Edison wanted to promote DC power. He was backed by Rockefeller.
Right.
Tesla was backed by Westinghouse. So Edison said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to prove that AC power is dangerous. So the guy built an electric chair. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hook up AC power, Tesla's AC power, into an electric chair, and I'm going to fry a guy. This was done in Auburn, New York. And so What happened is when they pulled the switch the first time, the guy didn't die. The second time they pulled the switch, his hair caught on fire. So I made a cigar that looks like at the top of the head of the cigar, you actually see tobacco that looks like the guy's hair is on fire. And it's just a beautiful shape. And then what I did on the box is I actually took like old print from newspaper and actually put that on there. So the old burn has a picture of the electric chair with all the press around him.
It's kind of hysterical.
But it's also kind of creepy, but it is what it is.
You know, hysterical is creepy.
It's historical.
I mean, yeah, it's absolutely right. All makes for a great smoke.
Exactly.
So we're enjoying this beautiful cigar, part of this story that you're telling. At the end of the day, Michael Giannini, it's got to execute. It's
exactly.
Got to be a beautiful cigar. So we've got about 3 minutes left. Talk about this gorgeous stick, and I'm going to ask you about your blend, sir.
Yeah, good luck with that. So here's the whole philosophy behind Foundry. Because these concepts are kind of revolutionary in the cigar industry, for me, the idea was that I needed to come up with blends that were just as revolutionary. So luckily, I'm part of General Cigar Group, and what's happened over the last 25 years is our buyers buy tobacco for all major brands, like Macanudo, Partagas, La Gloria Cabana, Cohiba,
right. Yeah.
Punch, CAO, Hoya de Monterey. So because of that, I'm able to tap into all three factories that we work out of, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Dominican Republic. So we had this area that was boxed off. And so I said to my tobacco guys, like, what's this tobacco here? And there was 5 bales of this and 10 bales of this. I couldn't pronounce half these names, but it's stuff, Matt, that was just sitting there that we weren't using because guys were intrigued by it when they were buying it, or it was a project that never came to fruition. And I'm like, you know what we're going to do? What a great chef used to do. And I'm so excited that the head chef's coming here, the executive chef, because
right.
I used to be a chef in a previous life.
Wow.
A great chef, hey, man, open up your refrigerator. You got a piece of chicken, a pineapple, an orange, and a tomato, and Tabasco sauce. Make a dish.
Go.
And that's what we did with this blend.
Oh, my God.
We took
gosh.
These tobaccos. We didn't know what they tasted like, and we just threw it together. But what we ended up finding out was we loved what we produced out of it. It doesn't matter what's inside it. It's about the great cigar when you smoke it. What the experience you're going to get is notes pop in, they pop out, they come sideways, underneath. You just never know what's going to happen with this
cigar. We're smoking one right now.
Yes.
And I'm getting all kinds of different layers of complexity. With, every 5 minutes or so, I'm getting a pop with something different.
It's unbelievable. And so for the cigar smokers out there, here's what I didn't use. I didn't use Dominican, Nicaraguan, Mexican, Honduran, name a tobacco. We've never smoked it because your brain, what happens is, because of that experience I had with my guys and the first time my life, Matt, I've ever been dumbfounded. Guys ask me, what do you taste? I'm like, I have no idea, but I know I love it. So I'm literally putting you in my seat, the experience I had the first time I smoked this blend.
Wow.
And that's what you're going to experience when you smoke Foundry.
Okay, so how can people learn more about Foundry Cigars?
So Foundry Cigars, you can go look at us on Facebook. We're working on a website right now. I mean, I don't really want to do marketing around this because it's not authentic to what I'm trying to do with this
brand.
To find this and discover it on their own. That's the exciting part about it.
That's fantastic. Well, we also want to give a quick shout out to one of our cigar retailers in Tucson that I know sells Foundry cigars and sells a whole ton of them, Crescent Tobacco, right over there on Sabino Canyon in Tancredi, as well as the original location right on Congress, downtown Tucson. Of course, if you're over by the Tucson Mall, check out Jerry's Cigars. They're our tobacconist of choice, but if you're looking for Foundry, head on over to Crescent, and Michael Giannini, when I get back to Tucson, we're going to demand the Jerry Cigars in Tucson.
Jerry's
Foundry Crescent, Cigars.
Crescent Tobacco, thank you so much, guys.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a sponsor, and when we come back, we're talking to Vice President Julian Griffiths, who runs the entire food and beverage operation here at the Mirage. You don't want to miss this. You know why? Because we're going to be having a cocktail, Michael.
Wow.
You're listening to On the Menu Live on KNST AM 790. Don't go away.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio, and it's only here on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from my home away from home. In fact, it might be my home away from my home away from my home away from home, because I am here in the very welcoming arms of the Mirage on Las Vegas Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Glitter Culture, they say, there's another name that goes with Vegas, and I guess the Vegas people are darn right sick of Sin City, but you know what? Let's call a spade, Michael Giannini.
Amen.
All right, we're here with our celebrity co-host for the full hour, the Honorable Michael Giannini from Foundry Cigars in La Gloria Cubana, making a lot of friends as he sits here. Now, I'm sure that the Secret Service service team had to kind of sweep the premises before you arrived.
Yes, I mean, they did.
It's a very, very detailed process when Michael Giannini is in the house. Well, you know, we talked a lot about great foundry cigars. We talked about the great big smoke here. But this is a food and cocktail show in addition to a cigar show. And we love talking about interesting cocktails, what's trending in the cocktail circuit, wherever we go worldwide. And there is the Oracle of Wisdom and the cocktail scene himself. He's the Vice President of Food and Beverage at the Mirage, the Honorable Julian Griffith is here. Julian, how are you, sir?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I want to, you know what? I want to have a title. I want to have Vice President and Beverage in my title. I don't know how you do that. Where do you go from? Do you become President of Beverage and Food at some point?
Hopefully one day. You never know. But I'll stick with the VP of Food and Beverage. That's good.
Okay. Well, Mr. Vice President, it's an honor to have you here in our midst. And I see that you've brought some lovely libations for us to enjoy. And we're gonna actually sip of your nectar here in just a few minutes. But we want to know, I mean, you know, when you think about cocktails in Las Vegas, cocktails at the Mirage. You know, it is as much a part of the experience and the encounter as the show you're going to go to or the wonderful meal you're going to enjoy, this lovely premium cigar. What kind of things should we be thinking about cocktail-wise when you think about what's trending on the Strip these days? What's happening on the cocktail scene?
Well, you know what? I mean, at the Mirage, because of the tropical environment, we go back from the classics to the tropical aspects of it. So what is trending in Vegas and across the country, I think, actually, is more the going back to the classic cocktail, the Aviations and the Negronis and those kind of things. But here at the Mirage, you know, we have to mix that in with the iconic feeling of the tropical environment. So, you know, you've got some cool things in front of us. We use a lot of the fruits to keep that tropical feel to it, coconuts and passion fruits and that, those kind of things.
And when you're building a cocktail program around a tropical inspiration, I would imagine, sir, that you probably have to do some traveling to make sure that there's a level of authenticity in these cocktails. Do you get over to the tropics much?
A little bit, yes. I mean, my bosses will probably listen to this, so I don't go that far. And certainly not on their dime, it's purely on my dime.
Oh, good save, Julian.
But yeah, we do, you know, exactly. I mean, here in Vegas, you know, we want to be on the forefront. So going to other cities, seeing what's going on, East Coast, West Coast kind of thing, the major cities, is important because we want to bring the next thing back into Vegas. So that's why I think the classic cocktails, if you're in New York or if you go back to Europe right now, the classic cocktails is really the traditional way of mixing a cocktail, the craft of making a cocktail. That is where the resurgence is. I think a lot of the flash, the flipping of the bottles, the concoctions of fruits, I think that's really, it's had its day. The classic cocktail, the craft and the art of cocktail making is really coming back.
I love the word craft because, you know, a lot of people misuse that, let's be honest. But when you're talking about the cocktail experience, especially here at the Mirage, it is all about sort of intention and hands craft and all of that. So when people come in these wonderful doors of the Mirage and they're greeted by all of these sights and sounds, what are the cocktailing opportunities for people to come in? I mean, it seems like you've got a lounge around every corner here at the Mirage.
Well, you know, you said it before, you know, beverage is a big part of fun in Vegas. You know, we gotta give the guests what they want. So, but in all of our locations as well, we have our cocktail program. Basically, we have a few cocktails that is across the property. In every single bar, you can go and get these cocktails. But in each location, because of the uniqueness of the location, we try and mix it up. You know, we've got an Asian restaurant, so it's an Asian themed cocktails. You know, our sports bar, you know, we play on with the sports teams. We got an Italian restaurant, so again, those are Italian-based cocktails. The Negronis, I mean, so we try and mix it up so we got synergy across the property, but then also there's little pockets here and there.
I think you're firing on all cylinders here. I mean, there's a different cocktail, different experience, different you know, aesthetic for every personality and palate. And Michael Giannini is showing remarkable restraint by not even touching his cocktails that have been delivered here, which I think is a great segue.
Well,
sir,
I'm waiting for the master to start sipping.
Okay,
Mr. Right. Vice President,
so hurry up.
Where are we going?
all right. Okay, so where are we going to go first? We're going to go with the 19th on Fab, which is a tequila-based cocktail. This is what is served in Heritage Steak. This is one of Tom Colicchio's signature cocktails. It's a combination of 100% agave tequila with passion fruit puree, fresh lime juice, and we have a house-made jalapeno syrup.
Oh my goodness.
You go, a little bit of the spiciness in there. You'll get that on the back of the palate at the end.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm so happy this is here because I was going to go over there and get one.
Well, you certainly can after the show.
Yeah, I will.
Beautiful.
More than one, hopefully.
And let's talk about the importance of using 100% blue agave in these tequilas, or in these cocktails, because that's the kind of tequila we're looking for. Fresh lime juice, and I love that little hint of heat that you put in there. A refreshing cocktail, but one that sort of gives you a little kiss on the back end.
100%. You know, a well-made cocktail is a balance. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it really comes down to. And I think that's where the craft of real cocktail making comes in. Not nowadays, but in the past, it was just throw stuff together and hope for the best. But now it really is going back to the... It's like cooking. You've got to start off with the best ingredients, and then you put them together in a beautiful balance. And that's what this cocktail really is.
And I love the larger-than-life ice cubes that you use in this cocktail. You know, the crushed ice just doesn't work in this cocktail because it's all about, you know, reducing the dilution property, and you've created this cocktail that is as beautiful to the eyes as it is to the palate.
100%. People are, you know, ice is a big component of a great drink. It's understated, and I think, you know, it's... The big cube ice cubes really give some gives great look at the cocktail. But again, you're right; it doesn't dilute down. It hasn't gone. It's not watered down in 2 minutes.
Beautiful. Okay, we've got about another minute and a half or so. Okay. Let's talk about this other cocktail that you've created for us. And it looks like you need a ladder to ascend the darn thing, Julian. I mean, where does one begin?
Begin right at the top. Just dig right in. So this one is called 212. And basically what it is it's a vodka base, and it's the Belvedere Intense, the new brand that I have.
Yes.
With balsamic vinegar and strawberries muddled together. So you get all that beautiful texture, the coloring through. You know, it's just not one pink coloring. It's nice and textured in it and refreshing, yet there's a bit of a, you know, the balsamic vinegar gives it a bit of a kick.
A little bit of a kick, and I love using these non-traditional cocktail elements to really bring a cocktail to the next level. I love using balsamic in that. What a wonderful idea. And this is real fruit, Julian.
But of course it is.
Real fruit.
You are the mirage. How could you second guess?
I mean, texture in a cocktail, if anyone's going to pull that off, it's going to be the mirage.
Well, you know, that's the way to go. I mean, again, we are true to our spirits.
Beautiful. So what's your favorite cocktail? When you're going to go home after a busy day, that is, if your boss ever lets you go home, you're going to create a cocktail for yourself that you think best represents Julian's palate. What's your cocktail of choice?
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I think it's like the trend. My palate has gone from the rums, and I'm now really into the brown spirits, the bourbons and the ryes and the whiskies. So I love anything that's got a bourbon whiskey base to it. I had one the other day with a, I can't think of the name, but it was with a bullet bourbon, and it was just spectacular. I mean, it really was.
Beautiful. I want you to hang out and enjoy the rest of the show with us after our news break. We're going to keep cocktailing. We're going to eat a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit more about cigars with Michael Giannini. So, folks, you don't want to miss the rest of this show. You're listening to On the Menu Live on KNST AM 790 in Tucson and on iHeartRadio worldwide. Don't go away. We're going to take a quick news break. We're going to be right back.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness and happy hour and happy everything right here at the Mirage, right on the Las Vegas Strip, having a great time talking about wonderful cigars with our good friend Michael Giannini from Foundry Cigars. Now, how about these cocktails, man?
Oh, my God. You know what? This is getting hard. I think I'm staying. I got to make some calls.
Yeah, now you have to tell Julian Griffiths, who's the vice president of food and beverage here at the Mirage, how do you order 5,000 of these over to the convention center tonight?
Yeah, Julian.
We can set that out, for sure.
I'm sure, yeah. Let me talk to you about
that. Well, first of all, who's paying?
Yeah, we'll work that out.
We'll put it on KNST, right? I mean, the intergalactic headquarters of Clear Channel in Tucson, Arizona. Anyway, thank you so much, Julian, for libating us at a very important time of the day as we are preparing to spend the next several hours with our cigar comrades against the backdrop of this camaraderie and this conversation about a great cigar. We've talked about some great cocktails here, and when you come into the Mirage, as Julian said, you basically just point your finger in any direction and follow your intention, because it's going to take you to a beautiful, heartwarming cocktail. You brought out these wonderful cocktails for us to try, a vodka-based cocktail and an agave tequila-based cocktail. And when you're thinking about great cocktails, and when you're at the Mirage, that's sort of this prelude, as it were, because when you come here to the Mirage, there's all kinds of wonderful culinary experiences that await you, and there's one chef who awaits you with open arms in his own right, the executive chef from Heritage Steak, right here in the Mirage, Chef Anthony Zappola. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
I mean, it is a personal privilege to have you here, having you sit here next to us and engage you lovingly about the culinary arts. Now, Chef, I have been following your career, and I'm interested to know, I mean, when you got that call that you're going to take over the culinary program at the Mirage Hotel and Casino, especially over to this great place called Heritage Steak, I mean, how did you react to that opportunity?
Well, I was very excited. I've been with Tom Colicchio for 10 years. New project coming up. It was a good team out here at the Mirage. I came out here and met Julian and met a bunch of people. and it seemed like the right fit.
Now you and Julian probably don't travel together for national security purposes, so the fact that you're actually here at the same time is actually history being made. But anyway, congratulations for ascending to the high honor here. And Tom Plicky, of course, an international culinary icon.
Yeah.
To be able to work side-by-side with him and his program, I think that's wonderful. So let's rewind a little bit and talk about your early days as a chef. I mean, when you think about, I mean, when you've arrived here, you probably, stand on the shoulders of giants, as we all like to say. Talk about some of your culinary inspirations as you were kind of plotting out your career that ultimately inspired you to this level.
Sure. Well, I started off as a dishwasher working for my mother. She had a catering company in Cleveland, Ohio.
No kidding.
Not by choice.
What?
You wash dishes when she needed
the Cleveland
help.
Part or the dishwasher part?
Well, both. Both. I haven't been back since I left. But, you know, she made us come to work and wash dishes and learn it from the bottom up. And from there, just started cooking at 14, 15. And
wow.
By the time I was 16, 17, I was, doing big parties with her and catering and just never left the restaurant business, I guess.
You know, it's funny. You'd be surprised, or maybe not. I am. I mean, how many times we talk to executive chefs all across the country, from celebrity chefs down to the mom and pops in small towns,
yeah.
A lot of them started out washing dishes. So, I mean, is it fair to say, Chef Anthony Zappola, that learning the craft in the bleach bath and the suds bath actually equipped you as to make you a better chef?
100%.
Wow.
100%. There's nothing wrong with starting as a dishwasher. There's nothing wrong starting peeling vegetables in the back and working your way up at a young age. You know, I was given an opportunity and those, you know, to continue to grow, and I took all those opportunities to this day.
Wonderful. Now, leading up to this day,
yeah.
I'm certain you have, you know, your sort of personal custom craft, as we talked about earlier on, you know, culinary point of view. So when you try to define, if you can possibly even shape it in one sort of message, Anthony Zappola's culinary perspective on the culinary arts, your point of view, how do you define who you are as a chef?
Well, I think that you have to be comfortable doing what you know is correct. I think you need to have confidence, and you need to understand that sometimes something that could be very simple yet can be very complex in flavor and appearance, and just sort of, you know, be confident and comfortable with what you're doing.
Oh, man, I couldn't say it better myself. I mean, and running a public relations firm, I think the same holds true. And again, on the beverage side, I mean, that sounds like it resonates as well, Julian.
100%. I mean, being true to the techniques is the way it needs to go. I mean, respecting the ingredients is the way to go.
And speaking of respect, I'm sure you pay your respects to a great many chefs that have come before you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you talk to a lot of chefs, and all you have to do is turn on the TV, and you know, the culinary arts, I think, has kind of become this entertainment function. And there's wonderful chefs that are doing a lot of time on TV. But are there any chefs around that you sort of, you know, looked up to as you were evolving your craft in the kitchen? Or are those that, I mean, Tom certainly, Colicchio is among them. But who are some of the tried and true chefs out there that you respect?
I think, early on in the career, Tom was definitely one. I started working for Tom as a line cook 10 years ago, and I went there because of him, because he was inspiring. You know, they thought of, like we talked about, the simplicity of food. He opened up Kraft in New York and putting single ingredients on a dish and being comfortable with that and really respecting the ingredients. You know, when it was just starting, he was sort of pioneered that. So I was in New York and jumped on with him then. Before that, you know, a lot of the old school big French chefs were really inspirational to me.
Mm.
The big restaurants, the Daniel Boulouds or
right
Alain
on.
Ducasse or some of the big New York City restaurants really inspired me.
How would you distinguish your experience as a chef in New York compared to your experience as a chef here in Las Vegas in terms of the culinary approach in the markets?
I think New York is and continues to be very competitive.
Right.
I think that, you know, a lot of inspiration does come from there. I think sometimes even when I go back, I still see dishes and get inspired in the way people think and the way they approach food. But to tell you the truth, I think that the culinary world now is come to a point now in many cities that there's a lot of sort of our generation of chefs that got to work under these higher up chefs that good restaurants are opening everywhere. I think, you know, I spent a little bit of time in LA before here. Their food scene is strong. The Las Vegas food scene is becoming strong. And probably, you know, Arizona and all these other places,
exactly.
You're getting really chef-driven people that have the right approach to restaurants and wherever they get their training from, whether they, you know, you don't need to go to New York to train anymore. I think you can find a good, confident, talented chef almost anywhere in the United States now.
Right on. You talk about chef-driven, I'm steak-driven.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about, you know, planning that great, you know, treasured trip to Las Vegas, and you come into the Mirage, and you make your reservations, and you plan your shows. I mean, you don't even have to leave the property, for crying out loud, when you come out to the Mirage. But anyway, as I said, I'm a carnivore at heart, Chef. And when you think about coming to Vegas, you think about having a gorgeous, beautiful steak dinner. And there's this great place now that's only been open for a couple of months called Heritage Steak. I can't wait. Tell us about Heritage.
Sure. Heritage Steak is a steak restaurant. We cook all natural meats, no hormones, no antibiotics, on open flames. So we have two natural burning, a grill and a wood grill and a robotic grill, charcoal. Yeah, so it just burns at a significantly hotter temperature. Wood burns hotter than gas. You know, we're cooking at 700 degrees plus at cooking surface.
Oh, my
gosh. So you're
just
searing meat much faster and hotter than a typical grill. It almost gives it a roasted flavor more than a grilled flavor because the fire is so even and hot across.
Beautiful. Now, is that kind of an idea of Tom Colicchio's in terms of the really taking, you know, leveraging this open flame approach? Or
yes.
Is that something you're bringing to the table?
That concept was here before I got involved. Julian could probably comment on that more, but that's Tom. That's definitely Tom's inspiration, was sort of natural meats on natural cooking surfaces.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, when we first started talking to Tom, he wanted to take it in a different direction, and I think the open areas of the atrium, which is where the restaurant's located, gave him some inspiration of thinking outside cooking, open flame. And I think that's where some of the inspirations came from, and took it to the next level. I mean, the kitchen, the open kitchen in the restaurant is just absolutely spectacular. Sitting in the dining room and seeing these flames and the meat, I mean, it's spectacular.
It's like dinner and a show.
More so.
More, yeah. I mean, so you have this classic exhibition arrangement there at Heritage Steak. So, you know, I'm from Arizona, so we use a lot of mesquite. We're known worldwide for sourcing mesquite. I mean, there's brewers that are using mesquite smoke in their beers. There's mesquite in, you know, jams and jellies. So we know a lot about a mesquite down here in the Southwest. What kind of wood are you using in the kitchen at Heritage?
We use oak.
Oak is a beautiful wood.
When we first opened and when we first started using the grill, we were buying, you know, fruit wood. So we were buying cherries and apples and even almonds and all kinds of, and mesquite we use. But we found that white oak was the most consistent burning. It actually added a good sort of mild smokiness to the beef because some of the other woods were adding a little bit too much flavor, and the quality of the meat that we were buying, you know, was so good that we thought it was overpowering that. So, you know, we went back down and we just decided that we're just going to use 100% oak.
It's a good call. Oak is one of the most versatile woods. I love the way it burns mesquite, as you're right. It does have a tendency. You got to be real careful with mesquite because it's got, you know, it's got to be done very delicately. Talk a little bit about the menu. You know, you brought us something for us to try, and we're going to do that in just a couple of minutes. But when you come into Heritage and you open up this wonderful menu, are you confronting a sort of conventional steakhouse menu with the cuts that we all expect, or do you have a little something or two up your sleeve?
I think that it's not a traditional approach to a steakhouse that most restaurants are. Although, you know, we kind of use a little bit of other ingredients. We have soy sauces and fish sauce, a little bit more Asian ingredients
beautiful.
In there. We take plays on sort of barbecues and fried dishes, but also too, we still offer fillets and bone and ribeyes and that sort of classical steakhouse steak. But, you know, we have composed dishes. It's basically composed dishes and heritage steaks. So a la carte steaks for the traditional sort of people that want to have a big steak. There's nothing wrong with big steak and a French fries. You know, we want
to,
we're going to do it the best that we can, and it's really good. But also, too, you know, we want to be a little bit different and, you know, unique in a lot of senses.
I love it. So when I come into Heritage Steak, I don't know if we're going to go tonight or tomorrow, but, you know, one or the other, so whichever night you want us. Is there a show-stopping cut? I mean, is there this one cut that's on the menu that you think is a manifestation of the Anthony Zappola and Tom Colicchio vision for what an amazing carnivore-inspired experience is going to be like?
I think the bone-in ribeye.
Yes, sir!
Is where it's at. It's fatty enough that it can sustain a lot of heat and an aggressive cook that gives it a good smokiness. and it's big enough that it'll please anybody.
We're going to do a quick tasting, but let's pay homage to some of the whiskey fans in our audience. You know, I'm a bourbon guy, I'm a rye guy. We were talking to you, Julian Griffiths, about some of these great craft cocktails that were inspired by some of these wonderful spirits. Where would you, I understand that Heritage actually is known for some really, you know, boutique or craft whiskeys as well, right? I mean, that's where you want to start your experience.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, for me, most certainly. I think when we was looking at how can we define our beverage program at Heritage, the whiskeys and the bourbons and the craft, and going to those boutique-y distillers was definitely the direction we wanted to go. Hey, it's near and dear to my heart, so couldn't help that. But most certainly. So when you walk into the bar, the way it's been designed as well, and the woods, you know, we use walnut, and it's black and steel and leather. I mean, it just fits into it. It's just a natural fit. We've got an incredible selection behind the bar. So
gorgeous.
You know, some interesting ones as well. You can't find very many places.
Well, we're gonna play around a little bit with some ryes and some bourbons when we go in there for dinner. We're gonna have this great cocktail. We're gonna have this amazing bone-in ribeye that Chef Anthony Zappola talked about. Michael Giannini, we're thinking about all the glory that is surrounding us with these great cocktails and a beautiful show-stopping steak. What's that one cigar from Foundry that you think is gonna best cap that experience?
All of them. I'm looking at this plate sitting in front of us, and I want to take a picture. It's a beautiful piece of art.
Thank you.
Well, you better hurry up because I'm going in.
All right. Beautiful.
I'll send you the one I just took.
Anyway,
this is our listeners' favorite part of the show, Chef, because we actually get to put some of your very bold statements to the test. You brought a lovely dish for us to sample. Kind of gives us an idea for what you talked about in terms of your vision for the culinary program. And we also want to remind our fellow foodie listeners that coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to provide the opportunity for you to call in and guess the answer to a trivia question. And the first person that calls in with the right answer, we're going to reach into our goodie bag and we're going to send you to one of Tucson's great restaurants. So you definitely want to stick around for that. Chef, what'd you bring out for us to try?
This is our steak skewer. So we do a black garlic and soy marinated skewers. We do four different types, all with cooked on the Robata grill. Steak, quail, chicken, and scallops.
You've got to be kidding me.
Wow.
Steak.
Wow.
Quail. Scallops and what else was there?
And chicken. Chicken wings. This is the steak, skirt steak. So it's an American Kobe skirt steak.
Oh, beautifully tender, beautifully rich. You've cooked it absolutely perfectly. Talk about the marinade on that steak.
It's aged soy. So just soy sauce with black garlic. Black garlic has a little bit of anise flavor. It tastes a little bit like fennel when it ferments, so it gives it a little bit more floral. And chili flakes for spice.
Yeah, I mean, and the spice pops, but it does so lovingly. Wow. It's not abrasive. It's not argumentative. It's almost like the spice that hit me on that cocktail that Julian brought out.
That's
gorgeous.
What's great about this is you've hit all the four parts that you can taste on a palate, and it's just like, this is amazing. Bravo.
Thank you.
We're going to actually put a picture of this up on our Facebook page so everybody can see what we are quite literally diving into. And, you know, as we say so often, Chef, on this show, that an exceptional culinary experience is so much more than a dish that simply tastes good. It's got to be pleasing to the eyes. You have to be in this wonderful, you know, aesthetic surrounding. And it seems like, while I have not yet been, it seems like you've created that kind of surround sound experience when you walk into Heritage, and that renders through right to the dish itself. I mean, presentation is clearly as important to Anthony Zappola as the way something tastes. I mean, this is a gorgeous dish.
Thank you.
Talk about how you put this all together. I mean, wonderful, bountiful colors, and the texture differences is quite fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. Just sort of using different colors and different techniques. So, you know, adding vinegar to the chilies there will brighten them up, give them a little bit of acid, make them pop on the plate a little bit more. And also, too, you know, you got to take into consideration the restaurant and how the restaurant looks and the feel and you know, the openness of the fire burning in the background and these sort of dishes, how they present, have to sort of mirror that as well.
You know, I think what you've done here, I'm trying to think of all the words that sort of, you know, represent the experience I'm having here, and I think this dish, I'm almost calling invitation. This is a dish that is inviting. It's a dish that sort of gives you a little bit of a tease to what Anthony Zappola and Heritage is all about. It gives you kind of a little hint. It's a prelude, really, for what you can experience, you know, on a larger scale with some of these bigger cuts. absolutely gorgeous. My hat is off to you and your entire team here at Heritage Steak at the Mirage. I just want to go over there right now. You want to host the rest of the show while I run over there and have some dinner?
Yeah, if you want to cook. You want to cook for the guests as well.
Is that how it goes? Okay, well, the time has come for us to give away a gift certificate for one of Tucson's great restaurants. It'll be random. We'll reach into our goodie bag and we'll find something for you. I'm sure all of our listeners want to say, no, but I want to go to Heritage. I want to go to the Mirage. Next time we come up here, we're going to make that happen. But of all the fun things that we could be thinking about testing our listeners about, let's do this. There is a show that is playing right here at the Mirage, been playing here for a long time, probably going to stay here for a long time, and it is called Love, correct? And that really is what this show is all about, especially when Anthony DiCipolla shows up. It's really all about love. And so there's one band, there's one rock band that was the inspiration for the music for the show Love right here at the Mirage. And we want to know, what was the band that inspired the music and the soundtrack for this great show? If you think you know the answer to the question, give us a call right now, right here at 880-5678. That's 880-KNST for a chance to win dinner on me at a great Tucson restaurant. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
Matt Russell broadcasting live with my new best friend, Chef Anthony DiCipolla, executive chef of Heritage Steak, right here at the gorgeous Mirage Hotel and Casino, having a great time with our celebrity co-host, who we're just about to wrap up an hour. Michael Giannini is back with us.
Thank you, Matt.
We're having some great cocktails.
Matt, this is unbelievable.
The food is fantastic. Wow. And as Julian would say, well, duh, we're at the Mirage.
Exactly.
What did you expect?
What did you expect? Anyway, the trivia question is on the table. There's this great show that the Mirage has really come to be known for, and it's called Love. And you really got to come up here to Vegas to get your reservations for this wonderful show. But it is all around the music of a very famous band, and we want to know the name of the band that inspired the music for this great show. And we're going to go to our lines. Michael, back in Tucson, do we have any callers holding? Okay, caller number one, his name is Willis. Oh, he's so excited. It sounds like we dropped him. All right, I will look to you, Michael, back in Tucson. Okay, we have Tim. Tim, welcome to On the Menu Live. What's the answer? Hello, Tim.
Yeah, hello.
Okay, so what's your answer? What band inspired the music for the show Love right here at the Mirage?
The Beatles.
He says the Beatles. He says the Beatles. Julian Griffiths, what do you say?
You know, I think he could be correct on that one.
Congratulations, you nailed it. Now he's thanking God that the first caller got dropped because you have won a gift card to experience one of Tucson's great restaurants. I wish I could tell you where we're going to be sending you, but trust us, it's going to be the best. Now look, have you ever been up to the Mirage in Las Vegas before?
Absolutely.
You have. You're a return customer. Great. Well, listen, congratulations. Thanks for listening, and it's going to be our personal privilege to send that gift card to you in the mail. So don't go away, because Michael back in Tucson is going to get all your information, and we're going to mail that to you. Thanks so much.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Wow. So, the first caller got it. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Have you seen Love here
at the
Mirage?
Yeah, you know what happened to the first caller?
What happened?
He was so inspired, he was going to the airport to get to the Mirage.
Just leave it dust in his trail.
Like, I'm gone.
I have not yet seen Love. Have you seen the show yet?
I have not. I haven't had time.
It's all the rage right here at the Mirage.
It looks great.
So, they've got to be selling lots of tickets. I mean, this is one of the hallmark experiences here. Julian Griffith has this show Love here at Mirage, and the Beatles inspire the soundtrack. How fun.
Most certainly. Being a fellow English person, you know, I love the fact. That was the reason why I came to the
Mirage. I thought you were from Toledo. But anyway, we've got a few minutes remaining before the end of the show. So what can we expect from Chef Anthony DiCipolla as we kind of head into the fall months? I mean, do you kind of take a menu here at Heritage and rotate that every so often? Are there kind of seasonal changes that you see on the menu? What can we expect out of you?
Yeah, the menu's changing all the time. You know, we do have the ability to print a menu daily if we need to. We're very product driven. We don't buy something that's not at the peak of its season,
right?
Or we don't try and force something. Work very hard with purveyors so that they understand that, you know, don't substitute something out if it's what we expect. That's what we want to do. We're willing to adjust the menu accordingly. So yes, seasons right now, fall's a great time. You got a lot of squash and root vegetables. We got
beautiful
game meats and all that sort of thing starting right now. But, yeah.
I love it. And you know what? You can get on a plane and get up to Las Vegas in 60 minutes from Tucson. It is so easy to do. Southwest has all kinds of great specials. So you can actually come up here for a weekend, hang out at the Mirage. You can meet Anthony Zappola for yourself, post for a couple of pictures with the guy, you know, if he has time. But anyway, thanks so much for all that you do here at Heritage Steak. Hours of operation for the restaurant for people that want to do, is primarily a dinner establishment?
Yes, yeah, it's 7 days a week, and it's open from 5 o'clock to 10:30.
To 10 or 10:30, or until I decide to leave.
Exactly, until the last people are deciding to get out. But, you know, we keep it open until late if we have to.
Chef Anthony Zappola, if there is one thing in your refrigerator at home, you've got to get rid of everything, but you're going to keep one item in your refrigerator at home. What's that item?
It would be sriracha sauce. Goes good on everything.
Wow. Well, with nothing else to put it on, you just kind of drink it straight from the bottle.
It goes on anything.
And knowing you, I think you could knock that back.
Yes.
Julian Griffiths, Vice President of Food and Beverage at the Mirage. One bottle of booze in your bar at home. What are you narrowing it down to?
Ooh, that's a tough. I mean, if I had one bottle, it would be Papa Van Winkle.
Oh,
if I had
gorgeous.
One, if I had to go one, that'd be the one I go with.
And if you find one, can you save one for a brother here?
I've got one in my office, but that, okay. But that's on the lock and key.
Can you let me know where his office is in this grand compound of entertainment?
No. Security has that one. That's
anyway, Julian Griffiths, Vice President of Food and Beverage here at the Mirage, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to libate us and to really inspire us about what's possible on the palate right here at the Mirage. I love everything that you're about.
Thank you very much.
And
thank
Chef
you.
Anthony Zappola, where do we go from here? I mean, I feel like I want to keep this conversation going, but my hat is off to you and everything that you and your team have done, and I wish you much success at Heritage. You know what? You don't need any luck from me. You're going to do all by yourself, and I love everything that you're about as well.
Great, thank you.
And Michael Giannini from Foundry Cigars, Matt, where do we go from here, man? What are
Matt,
you going to be doing?
I'm going to be hanging out tonight at the second session of the Big Smoke. Tomorrow I'm going to teach 500 guys how to roll cigars, their very own La Gloria Cabana. And then just going to go back to the factory to start making some really cool stuff.
You know, I asked Julian and I asked Chef Zappola about one thing, and you knew
yeah,
this was coming, man.
I know.
You know, one cigar that you think is a manifestation of all that Michael Giannini is, everything that you stand for as a human being. What's the one cigar?
Matt, you know
your
what?
Final cigar on this
a
planet.
A lot of people know me, and I don't follow rules, so I'm going to change your question. All right? So I would actually get my own bales of tobacco, and it's the next product I'm working on.
Oh, my gosh. So he leaves us with
that's
that.
That's what I leave you
we're
with.
We're begging and panting for more. Anyway, I'm so excited for your success.
Thank you.
We want to make sure that all of our fellow foodie listeners and cigar enthusiasts Google Foundry. You're going to learn a lot more about it. You can find out, where Michael's going to be. And you can, keep in touch with us. We'll let you know where he's going to be. And this is always such a fascinating time to sit down with the man who represents a lot of bling in his own right. I mean, you are just you're a brand in and of yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, we want to remind all of our listeners that next week, I'm going to be broadcasting live from Bob's Steak and Chop House at the Omni Tucson National Resort, one of the great steakhouses in Tucson. And we'll see if they can live up to the kinds of things that Anthony Zappola has created right here in Mirage. So we definitely want you to listen out for that. And we're going to give you a gift card to experience Bob's Steak and Chop House for yourself. So you definitely want to stick around for that. And we also should say our condolences to Sean Nelson back home in Tucson, who had to sit there and watch the BYU team just roll over who beat him?
Wisconsin
beat BYU. I guess there's some people here that have made a lot of money here on that game, and those that sadly didn't. But anyway, Sean, my condolences to you. I'll bring you a beer or something when I get back to Tucson. Anyway, if you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show in its entirety is going to be up on our website next week at onthemenulive.com. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Michael Giannini reminding you, if it's Saturday from 4 to 5, it's On The Menu Live. Have a great weekend. We'll see you at the Mirage.